Over 50 years ago, as Abraham Joshua Heschel tells the story, the rabbi of Brisk, a scholar of extraordinary renown, revered for his gentleness of character, got on a train in Warsaw to return to his hometown. The rabbi was a man of slight stature and of no distinct appearance, and he found a seat in one of the train's compartments. There he was surrounded by traveling salesmen who, as soon as the train began to move, started playing cards. As the game progressed, the excitement in the car increased. The rabbi, however, remained aloof and absorbed in meditation. Such aloofness was annoying to the rest of the people, and one of them suggested to the rabbi that he go ahead and join in the game. The rabbi answered that he never played cards. As time passed, the rabbi's aloofness became even more annoying, and one of those present said to him, "Either you join us or you leave this compartment." Shortly thereafter, he took the rabbi by his collar and pushed him out of the compartment. For several hours, the rabbi had to stand until he reached his destination, the city of Brisk. Brisk was also the destination of the salesman who had put out the rabbi. The rabbi left the train where he was immediately surrounded by admirers, welcoming him and shaking his hand. "Who is this man?" said the salesman. "You don't know him? The famous rabbi of Brisk?" The salesman's heart sank, for he had not realized whom he had offended. He quickly went over to the rabbi to ask forgiveness, but the rabbi declined to grant him forgiveness. In his hotel room, the salesman could find no peace. He went to the rabbi's house and was admitted to the rabbi's study. "Rabbi," he said, "I am not a rich man. I have, however, savings of 300 rubles. I will give them to you for charity if you will forgive me." The rabbi's answer was brief: "No." The salesman's anxiety was unbearable. He went to the synagogue to seek solace. He shared his anxiety with some people in the synagogue, and they were deeply surprised. How could their rabbi, so gentle a person, be so unforgiving? Their advice to him was to speak to the rabbi's eldest son and to tell him of the surprising attitude taken by his father. When the rabbi's son heard the story, he could not understand his father's stubbornness either. Seeing the anxiety in the man, he promised to discuss the matter with his father. Now, it's not proper, according to Jewish law, for a son to criticize his father directly. So the son entered his father's study and began a general conversation about Jewish law and turned to the laws of forgiveness. When the principle was mentioned that a person who asks for forgiveness three times should be granted forgiveness, the son mentioned the name of the man who was in great anxiety. Thereupon, the rabbi of Brisk answered him, "I cannot forgive him. He did not know who I am. He offended a common man. Let the salesman go to that common man to ask for forgiveness." Too often people get the wrong idea about the benefits of repentance. Asking forgiveness for something you have done, large or small, does not affect the person you have injured one-tenth of the way that it affects oneself. The beauty of repentance comes in realizing that we have done something unjust and feeling sorry for having done it. Asking forgiveness restores the perpetrator's humanity. Saying we were wrong allows us to have another chance with that person. It allows us to do things better in a similar situation. Like the salesman in the story, we have to realize that we have done someone an injustice before we realize whether they are famous or not, important or not. The reason the rabbi could not forgive the salesman is because the salesman would never have asked for forgiveness if he had not learned of the rabbi's fame. He would have just dismissed the man as another aloof, non-card player. Each of us has to see every person we come into contact with as important. And this is the hard part, trust me. I don't particularly want to think of people who are rude to me as being important. I don't want to think of people who are mean to me as important. I don't want to think of people whom I just deem stupid or incompetent or misguided as important. But I never know when the person who declines to play cards with me in a train car is a famous rabbi or Jesus or Buddha or Kuan Yin or Johnny Cash, for that matter. And I'm not talking about entertaining angels unawares here, but rather an attitude where I see the other person's worth and dignity before I act. And of course, we do not have to ask for forgiveness, but the price for not asking is also very high. I think of the Tennessee Williams play, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. This play is about a dysfunctional Southern family, and it has layers and layers of pain caused by an unwillingness to repent. Principally, Brick, the washed-up ex-football hero, has taken to drinking constantly because he cannot forgive himself for his best friend's suicide after Brick's hostile rebuffing of his affections. All around Brick buzz a swarm of harpies, his greedy wife Maggie, his controlling father Big Daddy, and his jealous brother and sister-in-law. All know that Brick harbors a deep and wounding guilt, and they use this guilt to skewer him and one another throughout the play. Only the play's foil, Big Mama, can see how her son's inability to forgive himself and his friend is tearing the family apart. Each night, Brick drinks whiskey until he feels a little click inside his head, letting him know that he can sleep in some degree of peace. Little does he realize this click is just a temporary respite when a more lasting peace is within his grasp. Of course, this is a Tennessee Williams play, and Brick never does figure it out. He never does get off the hook. He never makes it through to forgiveness. He's so used to relying on his own strength, his own independence, that even when he is physically, emotionally, and psychologically crippled, he cannot ask for help. He cannot admit that he needs the grace forgiveness can bring. The message of today's service is quite simple, yet it is very radical in our culture. We are humans, we make mistakes, we injure others, and others make mistakes that injure us. We must learn to forgive and be forgiven, and nothing is more important to a peaceful life than to be in right relationships with others and most especially with ourselves. But we forget this. We forget to look beyond the day-to-day needs and worries of our lives. We forget to slow down enough to be humane to those all around us. We lose sight of our connected one to all. Tomorrow night at sundown begin the Jewish High Holy Days. First, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and then on August 12th, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. As they have for thousands of years, Jews will fast and pray and attend temple services. They will look into their own hearts and make amends. They will vow to do better in the coming year. And they will emerge from those days of awe with a renewed sense of newness. This newness holds wonderful possibilities for the coming year. This newness removes the burden of past missteps. Earlier in our worship service, we all sang together, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. And because religion is the practice of our faith, when we sang those words, the forgiveness actually happened. Nothing we do in church is for show. Nothing we say or sing here is wasted. All of it matters. All of it makes a difference. All of it changes things for the better. For remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible, for each time we have struck out in anger without just cause, for each time our greed has blinded us to the needs of others, for the selfishness which can set us apart and alone, for falling short to the admonitions of the Spirit, for losing sight of our unity, for those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. True peace within comes from our learning to let go of our own egos, to stop blaming others for our pain, and to love ourselves enough to move on. True peace comes from accepting our humanness and thereby seeing the humanness of everyone else. People have a hard time letting go of their suffering, says the great Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh. Out of fear of the unknown, they prefer suffering that is familiar. And isn't this so true? Don't we so often prefer the suffering that we know to the unknown, which could be much better? For the true turning of the high holy days is its call for an internal turning that recognizes that how we are with ourselves is how we will be with other people. And this readjustment is so very hard to do. I have a tough time with it myself. I would often rather react hastily to someone else than stop for a moment and realize my reaction is not loving and will actually make the situation worse. Thich Nhat Hanh continues his teaching by saying, when we come into contact with the other person, our thoughts and actions should express a mind of compassion, even if that person says and does things that are not easy to accept. We practice in this way until we see clearly that our love is not contingent upon the other person being lovable. Training is needed in order to love properly, and to be able to give happiness and joy, you must practice deep looking directed toward the other person that you love. Because if you do not understand this person, you cannot love properly. Understanding is the essence of love. If you cannot understand, you cannot love. This is the message of the Buddha. As our names are written in the book of life for another year, let us resolve to live lives that are more understanding, more forgiving, more patient, and more loving. May we be freed from past wrongs by our desire to live in greater harmony with all things. We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. So be it. Amen.